Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of why Jesus came to earth and how we should live in the light of it. Jesus came to establish the reign of God in men and through men on the earth. Jesus' first words when he began his public ministry were, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That word kingdom means reign or rule. Jesus came to establish the reign of God in men and through men on this earth. Now, the people to whom he first came 2,000 years ago, Old Covenant Jews, based on the writings of the prophets, were expecting him to establish a physical, visible kingdom on this earth. He did not do so at that time. Jesus will come again in the not-too-distant future to establish the visible, eternal kingdom of God on this earth. But 2,000 years ago, he came to pay the price for sin so that it could be removed. And when a person puts faith in Christ, his sins are washed away, he is acquitted, all charges dropped, all charges against him dropped, because the evidence was wiped away at the cross. And that person can now be born of God, become a literal, actual son or daughter of God by receiving eternal life into his innermost being. Receiving this life is the beginning of a process that will ultimately make us like Jesus in character and power. We don't become Jesus. We become the us we were always meant to be, free from every trace of sin, corruption, and death, and fully glorifying to God in every part of our being. Now, this week, what we're specifically focusing on is the fact that we are in the kingdom, and the kingdom is in us. Jesus went to the cross, raised from the dead, spent 40 more days on this earth instructing his apostles about things concerning the kingdom of God. Then he returned to heaven. And they went out, when you read the book of Acts, you see that they went out and began to proclaim or preach the kingdom or the reign of God and demonstrate the kingdom through healing the sick and casting out devils. A few years later, Jesus, the resurrected Lord Jesus, appeared to Saul of Tarsus as he traveled to the city of Damascus, Syria. He was a zealous Pharisee who had become an ardent persecutor of Christians. Now, as you know, Saul was gloriously converted. Jesus changed his name to Paul. Jesus actually appeared to him a number of other times besides the appearance on the road to Damascus. Acts chapter 9 is the road to Damascus experience. Acts 26:16 tells us that Jesus appeared to him on other occasions. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, Paul himself said, "He did not receive the gospel that he preached from men. It was directly taught to him by Jesus." Now, I said all that to say, Jesus revealed a number of mysteries to Paul. Paul uses the word mystery 21 times in his writings. A mystery is something in the plan or purpose of God that hitherto is unrevealed. God told Paul some things about his plan that nobody knew about until Paul was given that information. The impact of Paul's ministry was massive. He wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, proportionately, and he took the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. And when you read about his ministry in the book of Acts, the second half of Acts is about Paul's ministry, you'll find that he preached the kingdom of God. And he was given a tremendous revelation that we are in the kingdom and the kingdom is in us. As Christians, we are in the kingdom and the kingdom is in us. Now, we're going to spend a couple weeks here analyzing what that means. Now, you might say, well, this doesn't have anything to do with real life. I got real troubles, and I need real help. Friend, you are now a citizen of a kingdom of full power and full provision. You hold citizenship in that kingdom, and you've been united to that kingdom through the new birth. The kingdom is actually in you. Power is in you now. But I'm getting way ahead of myself here. Let's just take this systematically. Now, what does it mean to be in the kingdom? Well, first off, you have to understand there is more to reality than what we contact with our five physical senses. There are seen things and there are unseen things. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him," that's God, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible." A lot we could talk about, but notice God made visible things and he made invisible things. God, who is invisible, presides over an invisible realm or kingdom of full power and provision. Now, this realm is not normally visible to us on earth. We can't see this kingdom. But Scripture records numerous examples where the heavens were opened, permitting human beings on this earth to see the unseen and experience its power. If you're a Bible reader, and I hope you are, possibly you've noticed the phrase, "the heavens were opened," in Scripture. Most of the time, that means the veil that separates the seen realm from the unseen realm was pulled back for a time, and men on earth saw into the unseen realm. Let me just give you a couple examples. 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha was a prophet in Israel, and Israel was in conflict with Syria at the time, but Elisha, as the prophet, was given information from God about what the Syrian army was going to do, and even though there were more of them than there were Israeli forces, the Israeli forces were victorious because they had this inside information. Well, the king of Syria was furious. He thought he had a traitor in his camp. His officials told him, "It's not a traitor, it's that prophet in Israel." So the king of Syria instructed his army to go get Elisha. They caught up with Elisha and his servant in the city of Dothan. Elisha's servant came out early one morning, and he saw the whole place surrounded by the Syrian army. And he was terrified because he knew why they were there. He went to his master and informed him of the situation. And Elisha was not upset at all. He simply responded, "We have more on our side than they have on their side." I'm sure the servant scratched his head and said, "I have no idea what you're talking about." But Elisha prayed and asked the Lord to open the servant's eyes, which the Lord did. The veil was pulled back between the seen and the unseen realm, and the servant saw chariots of fire, chariots glowing with the glory of God in the unseen realm, chariots of fire there to protect the prophet. The veil was pulled back, and Elisha and the servant got out unharmed. In Luke chapter 2, you're familiar with this one, the night Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the veil was pulled back, and shepherds watching their sheep that night saw and heard angels singing and praising God for what had been accomplished. Let me just read a few verses. This is Luke 2:13. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, for the shepherds said one to another," let me stop right there. Notice, they were visible. The shepherds could see him, hear him, and suddenly they went back into heaven. The point for our discussion is the veil was temporarily pulled back and the unseen realm became visible to men on earth. Now, the invisible realm preceded and produced the visible. We could do whole lessons on this, but the Bible is clear that the invisible God spoke his invisible word and this visible physical realm came into existence. How did God create the heavens and the earth? Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and light came into being. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. This invisible realm not only preceded and produced the visible realm, the invisible will outlast and ultimately change and transform the visible. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There it is again. There's seen things and there's unseen things. Unseen things are eternal. Seen things are temporary. This invisible realm can produce tangible changes and results in this visible physical world. Jesus administered the power of this kingdom to produce visible results. Read through the Gospels. That's exactly how Jesus operated. Invisible power healed bodies and minds. Invisible power stopped storms and multiplied food. And Jesus dispensed this power through his words and through his touch. Remember when he was asleep in the back of the boat with the disciples? They were trying to get across the Sea of Galilee and a big storm blew up. They woke him and said, don't you care? We're all going to die. He stood up and he spoke to the storm and said, peace be still. And the storm ceased. He spoke words that released invisible power that produced physical, tangible results. Now, because of the cross and the new birth, we are now citizens of this invisible kingdom, and we are authorized to access and administer its power. To be in the kingdom means that we are citizens of the kingdom. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven. That word conversation is citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The American Standard Version, Alfred's Version, the 20th Century Version, Phillips Translation. They all say citizen here, for our citizenship is in heaven. Our country is in the heavens. The state of which we are citizens is heaven. We are citizens of heaven. To be in the kingdom means we're citizens of heaven. A citizen is vested with rights and also duties as a citizen. We have rights and duties. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.